Good morning. And welcome to the worship services of Grace United Methodist Church on this beautiful Easter morning. Happy Easter to everyone.
Happy Easter.
We are once again coming to you from the sanctuaries of Grace United Methodist Church, abiding by the bishop's recommendations that we have no in-person worship. We are here, and I know that you're here in spirit. This is a very, very strange Easter morning. Normally, we're looking at pews full of people and full of happy smiles. I need to tell you that as I look out, having been at Grace for a long time, I see the faces. I see Roger and Karen and Billy and Miss Ernestine and Marlon and Terry and little Mr. Angus here in his robe waiting to light the candles. Happy Easter to all of you, and thank you for joining with us in our worship services this morning. We invite you to participate. The songs will be listed on your screens as we sing them. We'll have responsive readings, and the scriptures will also be portrayed for you. Again, we thank you very much for joining with us, and we now invite you to prepare your hearts, your minds, and your spirits for worship.
Happy Easter, this joyous day, this day when we proclaim that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed, alleluia. And in the words of Charles Wesley, soar we now where Christ has led, following our exalted head, made like him we rise. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Christ is risen indeed, alleluia. And let us pray. Almighty God, through your only Son, you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant that we who celebrate our Lord's resurrection by the renewing of your Spirit arise from the death of sin to the life of righteousness. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
And now please join me in singing Charles Wesley's hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Christ the Lord is risen today, alleluia. Earth and heaven in chorus say, alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, has opened paradise. Alleluia. Lives again our glorious King. Alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Made like him
this time, I want to say good morning to the children of Grace, the children that might be watching this morning and worshiping with us. We praise God for y'all gathering around with your families and worshiping on this Easter morning. And as we come together, I just want to talk with y'all a little bit about gardening. I don't know if any of y'all have ever gotten to do any gardening, maybe with parents or grandparents, or maybe you've just done some digging in the dirt or in the sandbox. Maybe you've been working in the earth, digging a hole. I know my boys love to dig a hole and get their hands dirty in the dirt. And in our passage this morning, the reason I bring up this digging, this gardening, is that in our passage this morning, we have a moment in the scripture where Jesus has been raised and he's come back into the tomb and he's asked Mary who she's looking for, and Mary thinks he's the gardener. Mary thinks he's the gardener that's taking care of this garden where this tomb was, where Jesus' body was laid on Friday after he was crucified. Mary thinks that this is the gardener and that maybe he knows where Jesus' body is. And a lot of times we think about Mary having made a mistake, that she mistakenly identifies Jesus as the gardener. But I've become convinced this year that Mary doesn't make a mistake. She sees Jesus as the gardener. She just doesn't see that it's Jesus. But Jesus is the gardener. We know that early in Scripture, at the very beginning in Genesis, God created a garden, and he put us in the garden, and he made all the animals and all the plants. We hear that story of creation, that God was the first gardener, and now Jesus is the second gardener. Jesus is the new gardener. Jesus is the gardener come back to recreate the garden, to make the garden once again, to bring new life, new creation, a new kingdom into the world, a new garden. And so I think that Mary sees Jesus as the gardener. She just doesn't see that it's Jesus. And Jesus has to tell her, convince her, show her that it's him. But I think she gets it right, that he is the gardener. So as it's still pretty outside right now, and even when the rain maybe starts later today, and as you have a chance to be outside, I want you to look around at creation. I want you to see the signs of new life this spring, butterflies that are coming out, birds that are chirping, new flowers that are budding on the plants and the trees and the shrubs. I want you to look around at all the new life, the new things that are happening, and be reminded of Jesus the gardener, who has come to bring new life, who has come to show us new life, who's come to create in us a new life. And I want you to look and remember those things as a part of our Easter message today. And I want you to be paying attention when we read the scripture here in a little bit to hear that story of Mary calling Jesus the gardener. Let us pray. Heavenly and almighty God, we give you thanks for good creation, new creation, for the chance to live in your resurrection, to be a part of your abundant new life. And we ask that you would show us where you have been busy creating that new life around us and in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we prepare our hearts to go to God in prayer, to lift the concerns of our hearts, I invite you to lift those concerns that are on your hearts this day, those things that have gone unspoken. And if you do have prayer concerns that you would like to share with us during the week so that they can be shared on Sunday morning, you can email me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org. If you'll email me those prayer concerns, or you can contact me by phone as well, I'm happy I'll respond to those, and we're happy to lift those in prayer on Sunday morning so that the concerns of the church can be lifted each and every time we gather together. So let's go to God in prayer now. Let us pray for the needs of the church and the world, to God who raised Jesus to new life. This day we pray for all those who cannot leave their homes and apartments. Especially this day we pray for Ernestine, Violet, Ed, Peter, Flora, June, and Marion. We also pray for all those who are highly vulnerable to COVID-19, those who have compromised immune systems, those who are unable to get out and may have been unable to get out and about even before this. We pray especially for them this day. We pray for all those who are suffering from other ailments and injuries for whom treatment is now more difficult and dangerous. We pray for Mike, Kristen, and Andrew, for Vivian, Betty Arant's great-granddaughter, For Barbara, a friend of Donna Houston. For Lee, Donna's brother-in-law. For Alice Truluck's friend who's caring for her parents suffering from Alzheimer's. For Christy, a friend of Betsy Smoke. For Randy, a co-worker of Larry Lott. For Paul and his family in the death of his daughter. Paul is a teacher at Chapin High School. For Linda and Bill as Linda recovers from surgery this past week. We ask for prayers for Coach Doherty, who is my high school baseball coach, as he is currently hospitalized for COVID-19. For all healthcare workers, for our veterans and VA staff, and for all the members of Grace and their families. Through the resurrection of your Son, O God, you conquered death and opened the gates of life everlasting. In the power of the Holy Spirit, raise us with Christ, that we too may proclaim healing and peace to the nations. And as Christ taught us, so now we pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join with me in singing The Day of Resurrection.
The Day of Resurrection, earth tell it out abroad. The Passover of gladness, the Passover of God. From death to life eternal, from earth unto the sky, our Christ hath brought us over with hymns of victory. Our hearts be pure from evil, that we may see aright the Lord in rays eternal of resurrection mind, and listening to his accents may hear so calm and plain his own all hail and hearing may raise the victor strain. Now let the heavens be joyful, let earth the song begin, let the round world keep triumph and all that is therein. Let all things seen and unseen their notes in gladness blend, for Christ the Lord hath risen, our joy that hath no end.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. And this morning I'll be reading from the Revised Standard Version. Hear the word of God. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Praise God this morning that Jesus is raised. It is an odd time to be the church. It's an odd time in general in the world. But one of the things we get to proclaim on Easter and every Sunday is that the resurrection can't be contained. Christ is not contained. The tomb is empty. And so Christ can't be contained in our homes with us as we stay at home and shelter in place. Christ isn't contained in this church building. Christ is raised to new life, to new abundant life, to new creation. Christ is in the world through the power of the Holy Spirit, making all things new, making new life, bringing us back to life from the dead, even now. And so as we enter into this time, into this Easter celebration, as we continue to move into our Easter celebration and think about our scripture this morning, this resurrection passage from John, I want us to consider who I think is the main character in this story other than Jesus. Jesus is the main character. He is raised, he is risen, and we praise God and we thank God and we are gathered together, gathered through screens, gathered through technology, gathered as the church this day because Jesus Christ is raised and because we believe that. But if we want to understand how we are supposed to live lives in light of the resurrection, if we want to understand how we're going to be Easter people on Easter morning, we've got to look closer at some of the folks in our scripture. And for that, I want us to look at Mary. I think that Mary is the main character in John's account of the resurrection. In fact, I would kind of argue that the women who go to the tomb in John, it's just Mary, but in some of the other gospel accounts, it's always the women who are the main characters other than Jesus. They're the ones who are always there, and in John's account, Mary has gone early in the morning, at least Mary has gone early in the morning to prepare Jesus' body for a true burial, for the burial that was required under the law. She's gone before daybreak and begun her walk so that as soon as the sun rises over the horizon, she'll be there and can begin the process of preparing his body for a lawful and traditional burial under Jewish custom. She's there to do her duty. It's interesting because as we heard on Thursday night, that Jesus has called the disciples to serve one another, to wash their feet, and yet Mary is the one now who has come to wash Jesus' body and to prepare it for its full and proper burial. And so we have Mary at the tomb, and she sees that the stone is rolled away. She walks up on this scene, on the tomb, on the gravesite, and the stone has been rolled away. And the story doesn't say that she goes in and looks. It doesn't say that she pokes her head in and it even looks in at all. All it says is that she saw that the stone was rolled away, and immediately she left to go and tell the other disciples. She doesn't look to see that the body is even gone. She's just so overwhelmed by the fact that the stone is rolled away, and she has to go and tell somebody. And she goes and she tells the disciples, who are all gathered together, still grieving, awaiting the full funeral of Jesus. And we hear that Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, they leave and they start this foot race to the tomb. And a lot of times, in an Easter sermon on this passage, we'll focus on that, on racing to the tomb. We get caught up with Peter and the other disciple racing to get there, to be the first one to see the empty tomb. But what I heard in this passage this year is that they have this foot race to the tomb, and the disciple Jesus loved gets there first and stays outside. He can't bring himself to go in either. And then Peter gets there, and Peter rushes on in, and he sees that Jesus' body is gone, that the headcloth is removed and rolled up, and the grave clothes are removed and rolled up and left in a different place, but all where Jesus' body had been laying, which is kind of odd if we think to think that somebody took the grave clothes off of Jesus' body before they removed him from the tomb. That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense of why somebody, a grave robber, would have done that. And yet we hear that both Peter and this disciple that Jesus loved leave the tomb without understanding that Jesus has been raised. As of yet, they don't understand about the resurrection. We hear that the other disciple believed, but believed what? He didn't believe that Jesus was raised. He believed that the body had been stolen, that the body was gone, that there was nothing left to do but go home. And so they went home. They go home. And the story continues and tells us that Mary stays at the tomb weeping. After Peter and the other disciple leave, Mary stays. Perhaps she's run after them back to the tomb. We don't hear how she gets back there, but there she is. She remains at the tomb weeping. And finally, after Peter and the other disciple have left, she herself bends over to look into the tomb to see if Jesus' body is really gone. It's at this moment when she looks in that she encounters the angels sitting where Jesus was. And the angels ask her, "Why are you weeping?" Ask, "Why are you weeping?" And she answers and she says, "Because they've taken my Lord and I don't know where." And after that, the angels are done. They ask one question in this account of the resurrection, because John wants to point us to Jesus and Mary. John wants to point us to this interaction between the raised Christ and Mary, who has stayed at the tomb. They don't want us distracted. John doesn't want us distracted with Peter and the other disciple. John doesn't want us distracted with the angel. John wants us to see these two having this encounter at the tomb. Mary responds and then turns, we hear, and she sees Jesus. And Jesus responds to Mary's answer to the angels. Jesus responds with an echo of their question and an addition of his own. He says, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Why are you weeping? For whom are you looking this day? And here is where Mary thinks that he's the gardener. She sees him and she thinks he's the gardener, and he is. He is. He's the gardener of new creation. A lot of times we put it on Mary that she's made a mistake, that she's misidentified Jesus, that somehow she is less than she should have been because she couldn't see. Sometimes we put that on Mary, but I don't think that we should. I think instead we should celebrate that she recognized the gardener of new creation. She recognized the Creator. At the beginning of John's gospel, it said that the Word was with God from the beginning, that everything that came into being through the Word, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. The Word was Jesus Christ. The Word was there in the beginning at the first creation, when God's holy wind swept over the waters and brought forth everything, and the Word is still there. The gardener of creation, the gardener of new creation, is still here, still with us, has come to bring us into new life, to bring new creation to fruition. And so Mary sees Jesus rightly, but only partially. She can tell that he's the gardener, but she can't tell that he's Jesus. And that may be because she's so wrapped up, she just wants to know where Jesus' body is, but there may be something more there, and I think that there is. She wants to know where Jesus' body is. That's what she asks him. She says, I don't know where they've taken him, but if you took him, give him to me, and I'll take him, and I'll prepare his body. But just give him back. Just let me have his body, Mary says. And at this point, Jesus calls her by name. Like God giving us names in the garden, Adam and Eve calling us by name. Now Jesus calls Mary by name in the new garden, in the new creation, in the new life, in the resurrected life that has been started in him, in the power of abundant life that has broken free from the grave, broken free from the tomb, that has rolled away the stone and left it empty. In all of that power, in all of that new creation, now Jesus calls Mary by name as the gardener of new creation, and he gives her a name and his new life so that she can see him fully as he is. In the light of his glory and grace, in the full power of the resurrection, she sees Jesus. And she cries out, Rabboni, teacher, master. She knows him as gardener and as Jesus Christ, who has walked with her and talked with her. She now sees Jesus as the creator who was with God in the creation of the world at the beginning, and as the one who came and wept with her outside of her brother's tomb. Now she sees Jesus. She wants to cling to him. She wants to stay with him in the garden, but he tells her it's not time to stay in the garden. It's not time just to hang out in the garden. It's not time just to be there with Jesus yet. There's still work to do. There's still people that need to know. There's still somebody to tell. And so he says it's time to go and tell of the resurrection and of the coming ascension. He tells her, go and tell my brothers that I've come back and that I'm going to see my God and our God, that I'm going to see my Father and our Father. Go and tell them that I'm raised to new life and that I am going on to the Father. He sends her out to go and tell out of the garden, to go and proclaim the good news. And she goes, we hear from John, she goes and she preaches this good news to the disciples, to the 11 that remain. She goes and tells them that Jesus is raised. She preaches the full gospel, the gospel that includes the resurrection of Jesus Christ. She is the first one to preach it in all of the New Testament. I think it's worth noting, just as we go through this, that the first Christian preacher was a woman. It wasn't Peter. It wasn't the disciple Jesus loved. John makes a point of telling us it was Mary who preached the resurrection first. Mary is the one that makes sure the good news is spread. Mary is the one who takes the message out. You see, as we think about this passage, about how it is that it's Mary, how it is that it's Mary who's the main character, Mary who's the disciple that we should model ourselves after in this story, how it is that it's Mary, I think we got to begin from the place of remembering that for Mary and the other disciples, the world had been turned upside down in a matter of a week. Jesus, whom they had faithfully followed for 3 years, went from celebrated Messiah to crucified criminal in just a few days. Last Sunday, we were in here and we were gathered together virtually and waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna to Jesus, the Messiah. But just a few days later, we came back for Maundy Thursday. And I'll tell you that we, in this group that has been coming together to be able to live stream worship, we all noted that Thursday night was the emptiest this place has felt since we started online streaming. Now, don't get me wrong, it's been different every time, But on a Sunday morning, as we gather to celebrate the resurrection, this place, if we still had a different feeling. There's a different feeling this morning than there was Thursday. I promise you, there's a different feeling this morning as we come together for the Easter resurrection than there was on Monday, Thursday, as we remembered the Last Supper before Jesus was arrested, before Jesus was crucified, before Jesus' body was laid in the tomb. There's a different feeling this morning, even in this weird circumstance that we find ourselves in. There's still something different because something has changed now that the resurrection has happened. And I bring that to you because the whole world had been turned upside down for them after Thursday. On Friday and Saturday, they spent their time in grief, in lament. And now, to top it all off, as Mary goes to fulfill the law regarding Jesus' burial, as she goes to do this last piece that provides closure and brings a way to mourn and grieve fully the loss of a loved one, it seems that someone has come and stolen his body. The tomb is rolled away. And so I think that we can understand a little bit how the disciples and Mary were feeling a little bit better this year than maybe we have before, or a little bit differently at least. Maybe, just maybe, we can understand how it feels like the world has been turned upside down as we worship all online, as we stay home except for essential trips, as we continue to try and flatten the curve of COVID-19. I think we can understand a little bit better what it feels like to have the world turned upside down. The loss of life alone in this crisis that we find ourselves in of trying to rein in the coronavirus, the loss of life alone is staggering when you consider the numbers. And coupled with the fear of things getting worse, our grief and sense of loss is heightened. It's where we are. It's how life is right now. It's how it feels, because every time it feels like we think to ourselves, I'll take one step forward. I can take one step forward now in this. Every time we think to ourselves, maybe I can do this one thing that had been taken away. Maybe we start to feel a sense of routine in the chaos and the crisis. Maybe we start to grow accustomed to what's going on, and we all love a little bit of routine. We all have our routines, and all of them have been turned upside down. So maybe we start to feel like we're finding one, and then all of a sudden something else happens. Something else gets added to the non-essential list. Something where we thought we saw some good news, somebody refutes it and says, no, it's not as good as they said. Something happens, and it all comes to grief again. Kind of like Mary showing up to the tomb and finding the stone rolled away. It's just one more thing, and I think that we can understand how it feels to have the world turned upside down and not to want to see that one more thing, to see the stone rolled away. We can understand how Mary must have felt on seeing that sight. And maybe it's why she doesn't look in. Maybe that's why she doesn't look in, because she can't bring herself to actually confirm what she fears. She can't bring herself to go to the entrance of the tomb to confirm that Jesus' body isn't there. She can't do that by herself, and so she leaves to go get support from others who've been grieving with her to be able to summon the strength to go in and confirm that Jesus' body is gone. So she goes and she gets the other disciples, and Peter and the one that Jesus loved. They run ahead of her, we hear. They run ahead by themselves. They depart. They get to the tomb before she does. They confirm that Jesus' body is gone, and then they depart before she seemingly has had a chance to even get there. And to me, this is part of why Mary is the main character other than Jesus. She comes back to the tomb, and Peter and the other disciple are gone. They've confirmed Jesus' body is not there, and now they believe that he's gone and that there is no hope. That his body is just gone, because they don't understand that the resurrection has happened. But Mary stays. Mary stays at the tomb. And she stays at the tomb weeping, and she stays at the tomb weeping because, not because she believes Jesus is gone forever, not because she believes that Jesus, that she won't find his body. She stays at the tomb to find Jesus. She's weeping, but she's looking for where his body might have gone. She's looking for somebody who can point her in the direction of Jesus. She stays at the tomb having looked in to confirm that Jesus' body is gone. She looks in and then she stays weeping, not just resigned that he's gone forever. Her staying, even in the midst of her weeping, even in the midst of her grieving, is a sign of hope. The fact that she stays is a sign of her hope. Even if she's hoping for less than what is to come in Jesus Christ, even if she's hoping for less than what she actually gets, all of our hopes are less than what God has in store for us in the abundant and resurrected life of Jesus Christ. All of our hope is less than what Jesus has in store. But her staying, Mary's staying, is a sign of her hope. It's a sign of her hope that she was gonna find Jesus, even if it was just his body so she could prepare it for burial. Her staying was a sign of her hope, because then what she gets when she stays in hope, weeping outside of the tomb, was an announcement of the recreation, restoration, and salvation of the world. What she gets is Jesus, the master, the gardener, once again at work in the garden of creation. Mary receives Christ because she stays at the tomb weeping in hope that Jesus will be found, in hope that she might find Jesus. So this Easter morning, what I want us to consider, what I want us to think about, is as we find ourselves in this strange time, in this strange place where we're worshiping differently, where we're doing all of life differently, we go to the grocery store differently, we go to work differently, where we do everything differently, where the whole world is turned upside down. On this Easter morning, when we proclaim the resurrected, abundant life of Jesus Christ, the power of God to raise Jesus and raise us from the dead, to free us from sin and death, on this Easter morning, what I want to ask us first and foremost is, will we stay at the tomb? The tomb with the stone rolled away, the tomb with the grave clothes laid out where Jesus' body was. Will we stay at the tomb until we find Jesus or find him again? Maybe you found him before. Maybe you found Jesus a long time ago. Maybe you found Jesus over and over again through your life, the way I've had to find him over and over again throughout mine. Maybe you found Jesus before, but you need to find him again. Maybe you've never found Jesus before, but you need to find him now. And the only way to find him is to stand in hope, waiting, knowing, trusting that the resurrected Lord is coming, that we will find Jesus, and our hope may be less than what we actually receive, but to wait. Will we wait outside the tomb like Mary? Will we wait until we find Jesus, until Jesus appears to us? Will we wait until we hear that word from the Lord when he calls us by name? Will we wait for Jesus outside the entrance of the tomb, desperately looking for our Lord and Savior? Will we wait outside the tomb? And when we've waited, and when we've found Jesus, notice that I say when, because if we wait in hope, if we wait in hope of experiencing Jesus' resurrection, if we wait in the sure and certain hope of the abundant life that Jesus Christ has offered to us, if we wait on Jesus to show up for us, he will. It's not a matter of if. He will. So when we have waited, when we have waited, when we have waited and Jesus shows up for us, and Jesus shows up to us, and Jesus shows us the new creation and resurrection that he is working in this world, then my question to us is, will we open ourselves up to how we are being and have been recreated in his image and likeness? Because if Jesus is working new creation in the world, if he's got his hands down in the dirt of creation, working the soil as the gardener of this good new life that is breaking forth even now, then he is certainly got his hands on us, remaking us, molding us, recreating us more and more into his image and likeness every day. But we have to be open to that. We have to be waiting for that. We have to be willing to be recreated. And recreation is not an easy thing for us. We don't necessarily want to have to change. We don't want to have to be different. We don't want to have to be better. We don't want to have to change our heart and mind, our ways, our life, our being. And so are we willing to be recreated, to open ourselves up to the recreation that Jesus has for us, to the new life, the abundant life, the resurrected life that Jesus has for us? Are we willing to open ourselves up into the new and resurrected creation that Jesus would have us to be when he appears? Not if, when. Because he will if we wait in hope. If we cling to the hope that he is coming, he will. And will we be ready to accept his recreation and new life? And this one is on us. This one is dependent on us. This last question, this last piece that I have for us, it's not really a question if we do the first two. If we wait in hope and we are open to being recreated by Christ, to be able to hear him call our names in this new creation, in this new resurrected reality, so that we can see him fully as creator and redeemer, as the creator, the one who was with God, the word with God, but also the one who comes and walks with us, who shows up at the tomb for us. If we wait on that hope and we are recreated and called into this new life, this new kingdom, if we wait, then when all of that happens, when Christ appears to you outside of the tomb, when Christ comes to you as you wait in hope, when Christ comes in you to show you the new resurrected, recreated life in the garden, the new garden, the new earth that he has for you, this kingdom of God that is coming and is now here, when Christ comes and shows you who you are and who he is, that he has saved you and is sanctifying you even now, when that happens, maybe it's happened, maybe you're ready, and if you're ready even now, then don't wait any longer. But if you're not ready, keep waiting, keep looking in hope to this moment. But when it happens that Christ comes, know that it's not time yet to stay in the garden. Know that Jesus isn't calling you to stay right there where he found you. Know that Jesus isn't recreating you as a part of the new creation just so you might be planted and rooted and stuck right where you find yourself. Know that Jesus isn't calling you to stay right there. Instead, he's going to look at you and he's going to tell you, don't hold on to me, but go and tell somebody. Go and tell my brothers and sisters in the world. Go and tell somebody. Go and tell somebody, I have seen the Lord, and I know that he's with the Father even now, that he's going to be with my Father and your Father, with my God and your God, that he advocates for us even now. Go and tell somebody, I have seen the Lord. I know him. He's walked with me. He's talked with me. He's the creator, and he's the one who's come to be with us in the flesh. Go and tell somebody like Mary does, I have seen the Lord. Doesn't matter if they've been disciples their whole life or walked with Jesus before. It doesn't matter if they've never heard of him at any point in time. Go and tell somebody. Tell somebody from your front porch. Tell somebody from your driveway. Tell somebody across the backyard fence. Tell somebody through a face mask. Tell somebody through the keyboard on your computer, on Facebook, through email, by a phone call or a FaceTime. Tell somebody when Jesus has shown up for you and showed you that he's recreated you and resurrected you into new life. Go and tell somebody, I have seen the Lord. Go and tell somebody that you waited in hope and Jesus showed up. Go and tell somebody that when you waited in hope, Jesus showed up and made you new, that Jesus recreated you, and that Jesus is recreating them too. That Jesus is recreating this whole world to be what God would have it to be. Go and tell somebody. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Living God, long ago, faithful women proclaimed the good news of Jesus' resurrection, and the world was changed forever. Teach us to keep faith with them, that our witness may be as bold, our love as deep, and our faith as true. Amen. Please join with me as we proclaim our faith using the Apostles' Creed. Let's join together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Amen. This morning, as we prepare to give back out of all that God has so graciously given to us, as we prepare to offer our tithes and offerings back to the God who has blessed us with every good thing, with every good and gracious gift that we've received, as we prepare to give back to God, I just want to remind you that we have several different giving options available for you. You can bring your offering by the church and leave it in the mailbox outside of the church office. We're checking the mail every day. If you want to put a stamp on it and drop it in the mailbox, we'll pick it up that way as the post office delivers it. And so we offer that to you. But we also have online giving available. You can give online at gracecolumbia.org. There are two different buttons on the home screen that you can find our online giving for. There's one on the left-hand side of the page in the task bar over there that says online giving, and there's one on the right hand in the almost the top right quadrant that says electronic giving. If you click either one of those, it'll take you to our giving page online, and you can give that way. You can set up a recurring gift. You can give one time, however you'd like to give. If you're on a mobile device and you navigate to our website, the online giving link is at the bottom of the page. You scroll all the way down to the bottom of the webpage, and you can find the online giving link there. This morning, as you continue to prepare your hearts to give, as you get your offerings ready, either writing a check or putting something in an envelope or navigating to the website, I want to take a minute just to celebrate this team of worship leaders that gathers each and every Sunday, that has kept us worshiping, for Mark and Cecile for keeping us singing and tapping our toes to the music, for Sam who keeps us moving forward and keeps us up to date on the life of the church and keeps the voice of the laity reading scripture, and as well as keeping me straight on the traditions of grace and what we need to do and how we need to do it, for Michael and Clay for their technical abilities and making sure that we continue to worship. I just want to praise God with all of you for this team, for the ways that they help us to be able to worship through this strange and difficult time, so that we can remain connected to the Lord. I also want to just give thanks for the the online worship host team for those that have volunteered to do that, so that those who are worshiping with us on Facebook can feel welcomed as they gather there. That team is Laura, Lolly, Alice, and Gloria. And so we praise God for that team and the ways that they work to make sure that we feel welcomed in this new worshiping reality for the time being. So we give thanks and praise. I give thanks and praise for this team. And as you continue to get ready to give, let's go to God in prayer. Mighty God of resurrection and redemption, we offer our gifts alongside our alleluias. We offer our hands and feet and voices to take the celebration out into the world that needs hope so desperately. May we go into the world with such energy, excitement, and power that the ground shakes once again, that lightning flashes, and that people see in us your redeeming love and the triumph of light over darkness. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please join with me in singing the hymn, The Day of Resurrection.
Easter people. 304.
Oh, sorry. Easter people, raise your voices. 304. Sorry.
Easter people, raise your voices. Sounds of heaven in earth should ring. Christ has brought us heaven's choices. Heavenly music, let it ring. Alleluia, alleluia. Easter people, let us sing. Fear of death can no more stop us from our pressing here below. For our Lord empowered us to triumph over every foe. Alleluia, alleluia, on to victory now we go. Every day to us is Easter with its resurrection song. When in trouble, move the faster to our God who rights the wrong. Alleluia, alleluia, see the power of heavenly throngs.
Amen. Our mission at Grace is to know Jesus and to make him known to others. We're sent forth in the power of Christ's resurrection. Alleluia. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.